Welcome to the SheWork, conversations that women rarely have but really should, and I am your host, Trudy Kerr. In this special series, we're teaming up with the Vivian Corporation to look at health, beauty, and medical issues that we as women are navigating today. In this series, we're going to be exploring topics such as menopause, sexual health, and beauty to give you the information and lived experience to help you make the decision that are right for you. In this show, we're tackling the topic of HPV. Now, this is a brand new term to me that I discovered in season 3. I had never even heard of HPV. But it's a critically important topic, and I'm absolutely thrilled that we're revisiting it. Recent findings state that there are 13,000 new cases of STIs in Malta every single year. And I will reiterate that mindfulness relating to STIs should be as much of a priority to women as getting our nails done or getting our hair done. It should be part of our thinking. In this show, we are specifically looking at the human papilloma virus, which is a common sexually transmitted infection. More than 90% of sexually active men and 80% of sexually active women will be infected with HPV in their lifetime. Around 50% of HPV infections involve certain high-risk types of HPV, which can cause cancer. But before we get started to talk about this incredibly important show, I would like to introduce my guests. Daniela Magro. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. You head up the Women's Health and Urology Business Unit at the Vivian Corporation.
Yes, that's right.
So is your field?
This is my field, yes.
Brilliant. I'm so glad that you're with us. And thank you so much, Daniela,
thank you
for taking the time.
Thank you.
Kiara, Dr. Kiara Frendel-Balzan. Hello.
Hello.
We've been here quite a few times.
We have indeed.
And it's so good to have you back. You are a gynecologist, and quite often when you're on any show, I am absolutely jaw-dropped because you give us information, knowledge, and insight that I, as a person of my age, should know and understand, but literally don't. And so much of what we do, we take for granted. And you have blown these topics apart. I remember the show we had on menstruation, and you sat next to me just here.
Yes.
And I was sitting opposite Rebecca. And Rebecca and I literally spent the whole show like this.
Yes, that was true.
Talking about menstruation, which is something. So I'm really excited because we touched on this topic of HPV in the sexual health, women and healthy sex show. Mm-hmm. And you were also here with my other guest, but you touched on it and I really wanted to talk about it even more because literally those statistics are mind-blowing.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. So Dr. Donia Gomoldi, thank you. Donia, thank you so much for being again on this show. You were on the show with Kiara when we talked about sex before, about sex and good sexual health. And this, again, as I said, this was something that we talked about there. We touched on it. But I'm blown away by the fact that we are still not having an open conversation. So I'm really glad that you're back here. You specialize in sexually transmitted infections, contraception, and psychosexual medicine. And you also lead the GU clinic. And so it's absolutely amazing to have you back. Thank you for being back.
Thank you so much again for the invitation.
It's brilliant. I'm really excited to be sitting around a table having an open conversation about sex. Yes. It makes me so, so thrilled that we're doing this. Go on.
Do you know what? Because you said about sex, right? And you started the topic of HPV. It doesn't always mean sex means HPV. We don't want to put people off having sex because of those statistics, right? I think then at the end, there needs to be a take-home message of how we can help ourselves not to get HPV or how to treat HPV. But yes, I'm so grateful for inviting me as well, because we don't talk about HPV. And there's so many people don't know what HPV is. Even when I say the word HPV, you're like, huh? Like human papillomavirus. And I shorten it to HPV because it's a mouthful.
As I can testament, because I've tried to say it at least 4 times to open the show. Yeah. But let's stick with that because we did talk about it in the show that you both you ladies were on about good sexual health. And I had literally never heard of HPV before. Okay. And I'm just had a very big birthday and I've gone through half a century without knowing anything about this. But if we look at the statistics whereby it's 90% of sexually active men, 80% of sexually active women, it's obviously extremely common. So my first up for all of you is, what is it?
So HPV, as Dr. Chiara just mentioned, it stands in short, it's HPV, the long term for it is the human papilloma virus. So as its name implies, it's a virus, it's not a bacteria. So antibiotics, for example, will do nothing against it. It's a virus which is transmitted through skin to skin contact. So if there is the skin touching against the skin of someone who has the virus, the virus can be transmitted that way. So it is easily transmissible. It lies on the skin. It lies on the top surface of the skin, on the epithelium, which is basically the top layer of the skin. So it hides very much from our immune system. Our immune system is the system that fights off infections, viruses, bacteria that we meet on a daily basis. But when a virus is within our body, the immune system can recognize that it's foreign, that it's not meant to be there, and tries to fight it off. But this virus is quite cunning. It lies on the top layer of the skin. So the immune system more often than not does not realize that it's there, or basically trying to fight it off is a bit more of a lengthier process. This virus, yes, is transmitted skin to skin contact, and it can affect any part of the body, but commonly it affects the genital area. So when I'm referring to that in women, it can affect the outer part, the vulva, but can also affect the vagina and very importantly, the cervix, but can also affect the anal area or what we call the perianal area, so around the anal region, and can also affect obviously in men, the penis or the scrotum, and also can affect the throat in both men and women.
Okay,
there's more. Because HPV is commoner than you think, because verrucas.
Yeah.
HPV.
What?
Those are the warts.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Okay. I've had a verruca a long time ago, but definitely an awful lot sooner than I was having sex.
So that's not sexually transmitted. Okay. So the virus, as Donia is saying, it is very contagious, okay? And the way I describe it, it is transmitted through intimate contact, okay? Genital warts are also HPV. So this virus, for it to multiply, it needs to go within the cell into... bear in mind that virus is just a strand of DNA, okay? And for it to multiply, to make more copies of itself so that it can go further, okay? It goes into the cell, into the nucleus, damage it, makes copies of itself, and then that can go further, okay? And these viruses are named, just like when we had COVID, they were named, you know, COVID was Omicron, Delta. These viruses with HPV, they're named by numbers, okay? So we like to name things, to classify, and there are viruses, HPV viruses, that affect the genital area, as Donia is saying, and they're transmissible by intimate contact, okay? So not just sexual contact, intimate contact. And I'll get to this and explain why.
Yeah, because I just wanted to highlight that. And as soon as you started talking, Donia, I was thinking to myself, if it's skin-to-skin contact, that doesn't necessarily mean sexual contact.
Exactly.
And when you just mentioned verrucas, you know, we were at school, albeit a long time ago, we were told you get a verruca from... If you're walking around in the showers, exactly. So we're not talking necessarily about the same thing.
It's still HPV.
It's still HPV.
People have HPV on the fingers. Mm-hmm. Once I had a six-year-old girl who had genital warts, and everyone was suspecting that she was being sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out that her mother had warts on her fingers and she was applying a cream. So this is what I mean by intimate contact. Okay. But this is why we're having the conversation, because it's important to know one's body, okay? Because genital warts are treatable, but they're not the nasty ones. They're not the ones that are, they don't cause cancer, okay? And also conversation-wise, a word vocabulary, there's the vaccine against HPV, right? And it's been introduced in Malta. And everyone knows it as the vaccine against cervical cancer. El vaccine contra cancer tratante l'utero. When I say, have you taken the vaccine against HPV?
Yep.
No. Mm-hmm. Have you taken the vaccine against cancer, cervical cancer? Like, oh, yes, that one. So we're automatically associating this with cervical cancer and not with HPV.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've just gone for a massive leap from here to here. So I want to fill in everything in the middle. And I'm just going to keep coming back and reiterating and saying it over and over again, because you're kind of talking to somebody who this is all brand new to. So HPV is a virus. Mm-hmm. So it's not a bacterial infection. Mm-hmm. It's a virus. And we know that with viruses, they are quite hard to treat as well as anything else, because they mutate very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And the way that the body works, we don't have the, and as you said, it sits on top of the skin and not in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So therefore it's even harder for the body to fight itself. Okay. It's very common.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spread by touch and contact.
Yes, skin to skin contact.
Skin to skin contact.
Then I tell my patients, obviously, I tend to see HPV affecting the genital region. I don't tend to see the warts or HPV affecting the hands or the soles of the feet. And as you mentioned, warts on the hands and the feet are very common in kids. And although you would have gotten them through close skin contact, obviously when HPV affects other parts of the body, not the genital area, they are not considered as a sexually transmitted infection. But when we have HPV affecting these areas that I've mentioned, around the genital area, around the anal region, the throat as well, in those cases, close skin to skin contact, intimate skin contact in that region tend to happen during sex. So for that reason only, it is considered as a sexually transmitted infection, or an STI in short. But if I have HPV affecting my hands, then I don't have an STI. It's more of a labeling thing. But if I have HPV affecting my vagina or my cervix, then I do have an STI.
So so the fact that it's an STI is the region that it appears in.
It affects, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at HPV and we're looking at what it looks like, how I would know that I've got it. Is it just warts? Is that? Okay. What is this looking like?
Because warts is the obvious sign of HPV. Again, they're not the nasty ones. They're benign. So they are not sinister. They don't cause cancer. Okay. And this is where needing to check before we get symptoms. Okay. This is when we do our smear tests. Because with a smear test, you'll be able... Now, I'm going to go back to basics so we explain a little bit what a smear test is. It's when the doctor, gynae, GP, they insert a speculum in the vagina, have a look at the cervix, which is the neck of the womb, and take a brushing of the most superficial layer of cells. And that's when, at the lab, they look at these cells and they see... Are these affected? Are these abnormal or not? Remember going back to, have they got good nuclei or not? Because if they look abnormal, then that can mean that it's a viral infection. Although there are other reasons why they can be abnormal, like chronic inflammation, like even development. So a young girl going through puberty can also have abnormal cells. So I don't tend to do smear tests too early because it can give us a false positive. But when this is picked up at the lab, these cells are abnormal. That means the top layer, the most superficial layer of cells, are affected.
Okay, so let me jump in there a second and put HPV just to one side for just a moment. Okay, because we know as young girls, as teenagers, and then going through adulthood, that we should be having regular smear tests.
When sexually active.
Okay.
Because this before then...
Good. Yeah.
Where are you going to get HPV from if it's through intimate contact?
But I'm looking at smear tests in general. So give me the guidance on smear tests in general, and then we'll look at HPV. So smear tests in general.
Smear test is a test to pick up abnormal cells that can lead to cancer. Okay. And 97-98% of cervical cancer is from HPV. which by logic you cannot get, okay, 2%. If you're not sexually active, if you're not going to meet HPV, your chances of getting cervical cancer is going to be close to zero.
So let me get this right. When we have a smear test,
yes,
that's largely what you're looking for.
That's it, not largely, that's it.
Oh, you're looking for the effects of the HPV virus on your cells.
That's it.
Okay, so not anything else. You're not looking for I don't know, chlamydia or...
No, exactly. And this is well done for bringing it up. Yeah. Because a lot of people do think that they're having an STI checkup. So I say, okay, have you ever done an STI checkup and what were the results? And they go on and tell me, yes, I do it every year at my gynecologist. And I say, but what are you having done? Is it a smear test or is it an STI checkup? And they tell me, but it's the same. Mm-hmm. I say, no.
Well, I'm really glad we had that conversation because that has just totally undone all of my thinking. Okay, so a smear test is specifically for HPV.
Precancerous cells of the cervix, full stop.
Exactly.
STI screens, I send them to Dr. Donia. I can do this meters, STI screens.
Okay, so let's talk about good sexual health for a second in general. You've just mentioned that people like myself would have come to you and said, well, I've had a smear test, so therefore I've had my sexual health checkup.
Check.
And you'd say, no, you need to do what?
You need to do, so if you want to do an STI checkup, it will involve a swab also from the vagina or in case of men, a urine sample, and it is specifically checked for sexually transmitted infections. I'll just mention the two most common ones, the chlamydia and gonorrhea, but it is a separate sample, it's a separate test from the smear test.
Wow. You see how every time you sit at this table, ladies, I get my mind blown away. Now, I have avoided smear tests for almost all of my adult life. I know you prompted me into going back and getting smear tests done. Because I think the now that I know that they are specifically for HPV, now my mind is really blown apart. But I think we assume they're going to be painful, embarrassing, uncomfortable. They're really not that bad and they're very quick and you just get them done, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's important to get them done before there are symptoms, okay? And what do I mean by symptoms? If we get, because you said, how do we know that we've got HPV?
Yeah.
A smear test will test. And remember, this is a lab test. This is not something I can see with the naked eye. Once those cells are so damaged, then it's beyond, it becomes into a cancer region now, okay? And we get 15 women diagnosed every year with cervical cancer in Malta.
Okay, let me come back again a little bit way before that. So if you are affected by HPV, the chances are you're not going to know it.
Yes.
And the chances are you're not going to have outward physical indicators.
Yes. That's why we test every year.
So every year we should be getting a smear test.
Yes.
Every year or more than frequently?
Well, in
the national program, yes, is every 3 years.
But this is logistics as well. It's not possible to screen every single woman every year. So luckily we've got a hybrid system where I tend to encourage my patients because that's there's a recall every 3 years. So I tell them every year and a half, at least, do one private and one at the health center.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think I've got this. So then you go get the smear test and you'll get your results one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But you did mention warts or such, yes, like if it gets that far, it's you're in trouble.
No, warts are the benign ones.
So I think if we go a step back before we go into cancer of the cervix and the screening test, when we speak of HPV, we're speaking of an extremely big family of viruses. We're speaking of around 200 viruses or more. And as Kara mentioned in the introduction, we tend to like names, but in this case, the name is a number. So we have around 200 different types of the HPV virus. But in general, they are divided into two big classes. We speak of low-risk HPV, and there is the high-risk HPV. Okay, although I tend to speak to discuss this with my patients, like I say, like you and your cousin, for example, you have similarities. You have the same surname or you have similar eye features, but one might be tall, the other one is short, one is blonde, one is dark. So there, you might not know their cousins, but there are some linkages between the two. And the low risk are the ones which cause the warts or the verruca. Call them whatever you want. So the warts are not nice to have. They are lumps on the skin. And they can affect, as I said, any part. But maybe for the scope of today's discussion, we'll focus on the genital region, not on the warts of the hands or the feet. But they're not nice to have, but they're not dangerous. But they are telling you that you have the HPV virus. So if you have the wart, you for sure have the HPV virus, because it is only the human papillomavirus which causes the warts, nothing else. Okay? Now, the warts, we remove them for aesthetic reasons, because they're not dangerous to have.
And a wart is just a cluster, if I'm getting this right, is a cluster of abnormal cells that have multiplied.
It is, yes, you can consider it like that. It's like a lump on the, yes, it's a lump on the skin, which is caused by HPV. It's a cluster of cells, basically. And
I'm smiling with Kiara because she can see I'm finally, the penny is dropping and I'm getting my head around this. Okay.
Yeah. And we remove the warts. There are various treatments that we can do. Some are done in clinic. Some are creams that can be bought from a pharmacy and this can be applied at home. And we remove only the warts for aesthetic. It's like similar to when you go to your GP or to your dermatologist and you have a mole, which you don't like, but the dermatologist, the skin doctor, tells you, no, that is not cancerous, it's not a skin cancer. But you say, like, it's bothering me, I don't want it showing, I want it removed. And the dermatologist will tell you, okay, we will remove it, but for aesthetic reasons. It's not because clinically we have to remove it. And the same goes for warts. Most patients end up wanting to remove their warts because they can grow and they're unsightly and people can become a bit conscious of their image. But we remove it purely for aesthetic reasons, okay? That is only caused by low-risk HPV. So having a wart does not put you at an increased risk of cancer of the cervix, does not put you at an increased kind of, you don't need to do your smear test more often than someone who doesn't have warts, okay? Because that's low-risk HPV. Then there is the high-risk HPV. So these are the same virus, basically, human papillomavirus, but different types. So they have different numbers, they have different names, okay? And these tend to live more on the cervix, but also obviously on the vagina or vulva in women, penis in man as well. But they are linked with cancer. The low-risk HPV is not linked in any way with cancer, okay? But the high-risk HPV, we call it high-risk because it can have a tendency to progress to cancer if left untreated or you don't do anything about it.
So I'm going to interject here and I'm going to ask a real techie kind of question because you're doctors and you probably know. What is cancer? How does an HPV mutate into cancer? What is so dangerous about cancer?
So cancer is a tumor. Okay, so a cluster of cells.
Yep.
And cancer is it's when it metastasizes. So it will go away. It will move away from where it started. Okay, so it's a tumor, but it's spread.
Okay.
That's cancer. Okay. And the cell in a cancer, it doesn't stop dividing. It's like it lives forever and ever. Okay, which is different to normal body cells, that when they age, the body recognizes that they're not good anymore. So they will tend to have they kind of self-destruct.
Okay.
But a cancer cell cannot self-destruct. So it continues multiplying and spreading. And these type of cancers that we're talking about, they tend to spread locally, so they'll abut onto adjacent structures. So if we talk about cervical cancer, it will go to the vagina, it will start affecting the vaginal skin. And when there's a cancer cell, it starts to change all the tissues into the same kind of cell. Okay, so it goes into a similar kind of tissue. and it then goes inside the pelvis and towards the pelvis wall. So when we talk about cervical cancer, it's usually close spread, which is good because it can be treated locally rather than spread through blood. And it goes, for example, to lung or to bone, okay? Because that's other types of cancers that can do that as well.
I can add to that, yes, the HPV is what we call an oncogenic virus. So it causes cancer because it has the potential. So in that case, the medical term is an oncogenic virus. So it has the potential of changing, because as Dr. Chiara just described really nicely, it is the division of cells, as in the replication of cells, the multiplying of cells an uncontrolled fashion. So the cells start dividing really fast and haphazardly, and that is why tumor forms and cancer forms. And the HPV is what we call an oncogenic virus. So it has the potential of changing the genetic material, the nucleus of our cells, into abnormal cells, basically.
Okay.
But it's slow. Okay. There is no need for panic.
I was about to say, I'm wonderfully terrified now.
No, I saw your face. But this process is so slow. It can take 10, 15 years from an abnormal smear test until we get a cancer result. So this is why every year is enough. You don't need to come every 6 months, okay? Even immunodeficient, so people who have HIV or their immune system is not the best, okay, they don't even need to come that often. In fact, guidelines in the UK, it's once every year. Going back to immune system fighting the HPV. But it's very slow changes. The HPV, and it actually doesn't mutate so fast. Okay, it doesn't mutate. It's just there. It causes slight changes.
I like your smile. And it's of the friendlier cancers.
Because HPV, right, this is why I'm passionate about HPV. We've got the high risk, we've got the moderate risk. So when it comes to cervical cancer, there's two numbers. And I'm going to say numbers so that it creates less confusion. There's 16 and 18. These are nasty, okay? They're high risk. Why? Because the body takes longer to get rid of them. They stick into the cell. It's difficult to get rid of them. Then we've got the moderate risk ones, and they're all in betweens, basically, not the wart numbers, which is 6 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 32, we got 36, 52, 56,
yeah.
They all these numbers. So the moderate risk ones, if you have a good immune system, it might take a while, and you probably don't even know you've got HPV, and it will just remain there dormant. And then you go through a phase where you're stressed because you got exams and you got, I don't know, moving house. And then you go for a smear test and you've got an abnormal smear and you get to the HPV swap test and like, oh, there's 52.
Well, hang on. I got to stop you because you just mentioned something. You're just saying that you could have HPV, it's dormant.
Yeah.
And then you go through a stress period.
Yes.
And it activates.
So immune system
Explain
and stress.
That to me. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. When we're stressed, everything goes haywire. Stress is the opposite of healing. Okay? Stress is not good for the body. Okay? Viruses, they tend to remain in our bodies. Even with Epstein-Barr virus, the EBV, the kissing disease. Viruses, the cold sore, that's another virus.
Herpes virus.
Herpes, these remain dormant. Bacteria, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis.
They treat them.
But viruses, they may remain dormant, so you probably won't know that you've got a virus. You don't know when you got it from. It could be your first partner, it could be your second to last, and it's not a sign of promiscuity. Okay, it's not how many people you've slept with; it's sexual activity. So you could sleep with one person, and if that person has got HPV. Then you probably will get HPV, okay? And statistics, in the first 6 months, you'll get some HPV infection. After sexual debut, in the first 6 months, you'll get an HPV. Yeah. And this is why the HPV vaccine is very good.
Okay, whoa, stop. Don't go to the vaccine just yet. We're going to get to the vaccine because you've been very quiet, but I know that you're going to want to talk about the vaccine. Before we get there, because I wanted, I'm having one of those shows where my mind is blown.
We need two
absolutely.
Shows.
Absolutely. I think we need a whole series on this. And that's why we're doing this. But just, there are a couple of things that I think I want to just backpedal on. And that is that a smear test is specifically for HPV.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And not for HPV. For the effects of HPV. Yes.
Effects of HPV on the cells.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, got that. Mm-hmm. So a smear test is specifically to look for the effects of HPV on cells. You're looking for the abnormal effects. Mm-hmm. It is not a sexual health test.
No.
In that it does not do enough to give you a clear sexual health certificate.
Correct.
You have other things that you have to do. Correct. I want to be super clear about that because I feel like I'm learning this for the first time too. Then also HPV can range from next to nothing. I'm going to be technical for one thing I do know is that the common cold, back 20 years ago, there was 252 known cold viruses. And the reason that you get a cold more than once is because you're not getting the same cold. Mm-hmm. And they can range from mild cold to aggressive cold and something that's going to knock you out and everything that's in between. Because it's under the rhinoviruses umbrella, but they have a lot of different...
It's a spectrum.
Absolutely. So we're talking about something similar like that.
Something similar.
So something where it could be mild, it could be a verruca, it could be something that sits on the skin, it could metabolize in that form, or if it's through sexual contact and it's close skin contact through sexual contact, then there's a possibility that it's going to affect you. 80% of women are going to be affected by an HPV virus. But even within that, you have a scale of something that's very mild to something 50% are potentially cancerous. You also said that they could sit there for a long time. They don't necessarily flare up. You won't necessarily know that they're there. They could be dormant, sitting there, minding their own business, happily hanging out with their other HPV cells, just doing their own thing. But they might be triggered by stress. Mm-hmm. But they are so slow that's why you only need to have a smear test to look for them every year, 1.5 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's my next question.
Yeah.
Before we even get to a vaccine, once you've spotted an HPV virus in the cervix, before we even get to cancer, what are you going to do? What would we do if it's mild? What do we do if once it gets to cancer?
Nothing really. I know. I love your face.
Don't blow me away and then say nothing, Kiara.
This is it. You know, I get so many women who are so anxious just because they have HPV. Most of us have HPV. Mm-hmm. Has it got an effect? Is it causing damage? Yes or no? If it's yes, then we have to treat. Okay, we have to... biopsies, colposcopies, products. Yes.
Okay, let's not take that away.
But if there's no damage, what are you going to do? Improve your immune system.
But can it get any worse? Hang on a second. You improve your immune system so you fight it naturally.
Exactly. Yes. I get this analogy of COVID, right? Because I think with COVID, it's easy for people to grasp this topic of a virus and what the effect of a virus is. We all know people who have had COVID and had no symptoms. And we know people who have had COVID and were sick for 3 weeks, needing to go to hospital, needing ITU. Okay? It's a virus. It's a virus. It's still contagious. You can still pass it on. Okay? But if it's not causing an effect, if you don't have any symptoms, do I send you to ITU? So, if you have HPV on you, and your smear test is okay, what are you going to do?
Oh, that's why you said you're not looking for the HPV virus. You're looking for the damage that an HPV virus can cause.
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm getting it. But now, what would you then do naturally?
I need to hold the brakes here a little bit because in the UK, they're flipping everything upside down. So they're testing for HPV first, and then they're doing a smear test after. So basically, it's the same system, taking cells from the cervix, and then it's processed. Okay. Now, for the pathologist to look at cells, so this is not AI. This is a human person looking at under the microscope, looking at abnormal cells. Okay, the amount of manpower is ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so what they're doing is they're flipping it around. They're running all the tests through a machine. Obviously, we're used to doing the viral tests, and that can process thousands. And then those that are abnormal, then the pathologist, when we look at those, okay, so those that are HPV positive smears, because it's that same sample, okay, then the pathologist, when we look at that, so that will reduce the amount of manpower, it is cost effective.
And this will also be the system here.
I don't. It's been piloted. I don't know whether how that's going to go. Mm. I don't like this system because what about those 2-3% that are cancers, so abnormal cells that are not HPV related? Do we eliminate those people?
Where do they come from?
So if there's an abnormal division of the cells of the cervix, and usually it's glandular, okay, if there's damage, so basis of pathology now, okay? So pathology is how tissues, how the body is. Cancer is because of damaged cells. Any damaged cell in the body, even with sunburn, risk of cancer. Any damage leads to cancer eventually. So if there's a damaged cell, whether it's a virus causing damage, whether it's radiation, whether it's anything else, if there's damage, then it can lead to cancer, okay? So for whatever reason, okay, and usually they're adenocarcinoma, so glandular, they're 2-3% because 97% of cancers of the cervix are HPV. Do we eliminate those people? But I think in Malta we'll probably continue with the hybrid system where in private practice we won't be running HPV as an initial step. We'll do the pathology. Okay, if that makes sense.
I want to come to you, Donia, because you mentioned for the first, I heard this, and I want to say thank you for explaining that, because again, once again, my mind is blown. But I want to ask you, because we talked about HPV for the first time in the show that we had before, talking about women and sexual health. You mentioned then that this was fairly new in understanding here in Malta, that people were starting to get their heads around it. Have we seen progress in understanding HPV and the implications?
Yes, I think more people are aware of it. We'll obviously also talk about vaccination, but since the vaccination program has launched in schools and from January of this year, we're also offering vaccination to boys, to all girls and boys age 12, 13. So obviously then even the parents kind of, all right, what is this vaccination about? And if you research about it, obviously HPV comes up, and then the parents are curious, or they bring their kids to the clinic, you know, to explain about HPV. So definitely awareness has increased on the topic. And if there is more awareness, there is more people who are willing to test and to get treated or asking for more information about it. It remains the most common viral sexually transmitted infection. As you mentioned in your introduction, in statistics, 90% of men and 80% of women when sexually active will get the HPV virus at some point. So it is an extremely common virus. Yes, education has definitely increased. Is there room for improvement? 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're having these conversations. But I am seriously shocked that to understand today that smear tests are specific to the damaging effects of HPV, not anything else. Because I'm, you know, an old timer, and I didn't understand that. And I think I just want to keep driving that home, that for good sexual health, you can't just go have one smear test. It's crucial, it's critical, but it is only specific to the effects of HPV.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if I could just take a breath and just go, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a big, big topic, and I'm glad that we're diving into it right this minute. I do want to talk about this vaccine, and I also want to talk about what happens next if you have a smear test and there's an abnormal cell. So what do we do? Let's talk about that first. So because I think that's what's frightening for a lot of people. But if you get back a smear test result, which nobody wants, and it says, hey, listen, you're going to have to come back, and it's got an abnormal result. What's the next stage there?
So first of all, going one step back, if remember how HPV is very slow acting?
Yeah.
If someone stopped having sex 10 years ago, they still need smear tests. Okay? So it's not just currently active people, because it could have effects now from activity of 10 years ago. Okay, just for your viewers, it's important that awareness as well. So if there is abnormal smear cells, okay, remember how I said it's the most superficial layer of cells that are removed? Now, if that layer is abnormal, I then need to find out how many other layers are abnormal. So this virus that has been living on the surface, has it affected the second most layer and the third most layer? And that is when we would need to do a biopsy. Okay. Most times, an abnormal smear...
What is a biopsy?
So a biopsy is a slight pinch of the cells of the cervix. Okay. So this is done with a speculum under like microscope. So I'm looking
at the cervix.
Mm-hmm. A tiny pinch. I tend to give local anesthetic because it's not nice to pinch the cervix. And that will give me, it's like a little tiny pinch, a little bite, how many layers are affected. Okay. Because that will then dictate my treatment. Okay. But in most cases, initial abnormal smear, most of the time it's not that bad. And if we give supportive treatment to help immune system, to help the body, because remember that we exfoliate cells all the time. So our cells keep on going to the surface. Yeah. So if you have a healthy immune system, you're going to reach the top layer cells, and that's going to be shed all the time. So if we give vitamins or we give certain gels that will help heal, help the new cells come up healthy, then a repeat smear test after 6 months, because we'd need to repeat to see if that is persisting, probably is going to be normal.
Yeah. So you could have an abnormal smear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have a biopsy just to check.
So the biopsy is when it's bad. So abnormal smear tests, they tend to give us a lot of different criteria of where it's abnormal. Okay, whether it's a low grade, whether it's a high grade. So low grade is probably nothing. So you just need to boost your immune system, get those cells to be healthier. But if it's a high grade, then I would do an HPV test, and that will trigger a biopsy right away. But if it's a low grade, treat and repeat. And if it's persistent after 3 smears, then
and well, those smears are how far apart?
Those smears are after six months.
So this is, with all due respect, you know, I've always been very nervous about getting a smear test back and the result being abnormal. But if there's an abnormal result, we're not talking about, you know, doing something in the next 3 weeks that's something drastic and radical. No. It might just be every 6 months just to take.
Yes.
That's why we need to get our women to get a smear test done. Because I've encountered women, I'm not sure yourselves, of actually, they don't go for a smear test because they're so terrified of the results. But as Dr. Kerr is mentioning, okay, you get an abnormal test, but if that like low-grade lesions caused by HPV, there's actually something that can be done. It's not the end of the world.
No, I went 48 years without my first smear test. So there you go. This lady talked me into it. And thankfully, it was, and I've had ever since. I've had one now every year ever since. So you converted me, Kiara.
Well done.
Take good care of my vagina. Okay. Had to say it. Okay, so we're talking about if there is something a little bit more serious, then obviously there is a due course process. Yes. But really, with HPV, not to get alarmed because it's very common, not to get alarmed because it's treatable, and it's the body will deal with it naturally in a large portion of of cases.
Yes.
So, and then if it has developed and it has metastasized in something a little bit more frightening, then there are ways of dealing with that as well. Mm-hmm. But going on what you've just said, the growth timeline is so incredibly slow that if you are having regular smear tests, you can catch it before it gets to anything that's too serious.
Exactly.
Okay, now I understand. Yeah. Talk to me about, talk to me about the vaccine though.
So, okay, let's go back. Okay, so
you guys keep wanting me to go back.
I'd love to go back before we go to the vaccine now.
Okay, all right, okay.
Are you going to go first?
We go every year and you've always had a good smear. And 1 year you have an abnormal smear and there's HPV. And you've been in a relationship for the last 8 years. It's not a test for infidelity. Okay, it says nothing about who's been cheating on who, nothing. Okay, because remember that HPV could have been there 10, 15 years before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is really important. First of all, wow. So it could be that I could have had a sexual partner 15 years ago that from that partner, they were one of those 90% of men who carry an HPV virus. I got an HPV virus. It's been sat there, but I've been chill. I've been in Golden Bay hanging out and relaxed. And suddenly I'm working really hard and the stress comes. So something kicks in to activate that HPV virus because we're now in a stress situation. And now it's sort of saying, hi, I'm here because you're really stressed out.
Exactly.
So that's really worth noting because I think that's also a reason that people don't go for smear tests and for STIs because sometimes they don't want to know.
Mm-hmm. And it's a major cause of anxiety. Obviously, knowing about HPV normally triggers a lot of questions and a lot of anxiety. And obviously, the first thing you do, you go on Google, you write HPV and cancer comes up. So they're already really stressed and anxious that they have, you know, a virus that can lead to cancer. And then they find out that it is a sexually transmitted infection. So what does this mean to me? Does this mean that my partner is cheating, is being unfaithful? So it normally triggers anxiety from more than, you know, one different front. So yes, I think one important take home message that we need to take, or we need to obviously project to our viewers, is that HPV is not a sign of unfaithfulness. It's not a sign of infidelity. As Kiara mentioned, this virus can be dormant in our body for a long time, and then for some reason it decides to come out and gives us problems. And the other thing is, normally what happens is, so we do recommend that people that are diagnosed with HPV, they do get screened for other sexually transmitted infections, because just like you could have contracted HPV through sexual route, you could have acquired another bacteria or another virus. So it is recommended that they get screened for other sexually transmitted infections. And the other thing is that normally, we're speaking maybe of female patients more today, but they normally get their male partner maybe to the clinic to get tested and to get treated for the HPV, for the human papillomavirus. But it is very important to say that men, we don't have an accurate test to test men for the HPV virus. So although we have very good DNA tests for HPV and also smear testing, but if I'm seeing a man and he comes to the clinic, he's really anxious, he tells me my partner has been diagnosed with HPV, please test me for it. And usually my answer is like, sorry, I don't have an available test, an accurate test for HPV.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
We are lucky.
Oh, hang on a second. So 8 out of 10 women will be affected by the HPV virus. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 men
have HPV.
But there's no way to test them. There's no way to test.
The test is not very, it's not accurate in men. We say it's around 30% sensitive, which is basically, we don't do it in the first place because it's not accurate.
Okay, so does that mean that the HPV virus has HPV virus carries no risk for men?
No, we can't really say that it carries no risk.
Penile cancer, anal cancer in men who have sex with men, throat cancer.
Yes. So HPV, yes, it, although we tend to associate quite a lot of HPV with women because of cervical cancer, I think is the second most common cancer. But yes, HPV can also affect men, especially men having sex with men. So we really need to raise awareness not only in women, but HPV affecting men, but especially men having sex with men. And for example, people living with HIV virus are 40 times at an increased chance of having anal cancer. So the importance of vaccinating for HPV, against HPV, not only in women, but you know, boys and men, especially men having sex with men and men living or people living with HIV.
That's why the vaccine is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too darn right it
is. And not just to girls. Finally, we're getting men, boys vaccinated as well.
And I think it was like from last year that boys are now invited to get vaccinated. And the uptake has been pretty good, actually. And they're doing a lot of promotion online as well. So I think we're doing a great job.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, still mind blown. Why boys and girls? Why not adults?
Even adults can actually get vaccinated. Yes. But it's important to give vaccines around 12, 13 years before they're actually sexually active. Because the vaccine will protect you against 9 HPV types that are the most oncogenic. Cervical cancer is a preventable cancer if you're actually going to take the vaccine. In fact, there are countries.
Sorry, I'm trying to slow it down so that I myself and anybody that's watching this can understand. So the vaccine is going to give you protection from 9
types that are highly oncogenic.
Okay, so we talked about 200 types.
Yes. So 2 that are against warts.
Yeah.
So in the 9, again in the vaccine, 2 against warts, 2 the 16 and 11 high risk, 16 and 18. Thank you, Donna. And 5 moderate risk.
Yeah.
Okay. So in someone who's 12, probably they have not had contact with HPV. So that's the best time to start protecting them. Okay. Now, if you tell me I'm 50. And I've now had HPV 52, one of these, right? Can I still get the vaccine? And I tell you, yes, you can, because what is stopping you from protecting yourself against the other 8 if you only have 1 HPV? Okay? And I've seen patients who have had 3, 4, 5 different types of HPV. Okay? So, yes, it's best to start when they're young and before initial contact, before when they're pure, no HPV. Because once you start having sex, you get HPV in the first 6 months. Yeah, in my brain, it's common. Again, not to be scared, not to stop us from having sex, but we can protect ourselves. Exactly. It is cervical cancer. It is a preventable cancer.
Okay, so let's take... I'm going to put this into a real life scenario. I'm 50. I have a husband. What is the... I need to be having my smear tests, regular smear tests. What is the need for me to have a vaccine? Is it sort of a low priority? Is it something I should do? Maybe I shouldn't do. Is it painful? Is it... How easy is it to access?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I get asked this a lot, because there's a lot of misinformation. Sorry, please do butt in, because...
Poor Daniela.
I'm just taking it all in as well, to be honest.
It's amazing.
Each and every time, I always get to learn, because although I'm a pharmacist myself, I mean, I started learning about HPV when I started, you know, like getting to know the products that there are on the market and what women can use. And I'm always fascinated, because unfortunately, even a healthcare professional like myself did not know much about HPV. So I do hope that this podcast, you know, is not just for, it's also for, you know, pharmacists like myself, because the minute that I go into a pharmacy and I tell them, listen, I have a product that can be used in patients, you know, that are HPV positive, that have low grade lesions, as Dr. Chiara mentioned, they tell me, HPV, what is it? It's true.
But
it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay.
I'm sorry.
No, but it sounds to me as common as the common cold.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And yet we are not having this conversation.
Yes.
Remember, it's a big taboo. Anything that's associated with sex is taboo.
That's right.
It's taboo. But it's not necessary. I mean,
why should it be? Why should it be?
From what I'm understanding, of those 200 viruses, not all of them are associated with having sex.
Yes, there's a percentage. Yes. But the we don't speak about HPV affecting the vagina, the cervical cancer, you know, because HPV in this region tend to be associated with sex. So
yeah, but I've never heard about HPV full stop.
General. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard about it full stop.
Yes.
And you said of the vaccine, of the nine. Two of those are the warts.
The warts, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, warts are unsightly. They're contagious, so they're annoying. Mm-hmm. Get vaccinated, you know. Going back to your question, would you need a vaccine at the age of 50?
Mm. Okay.
It is costly at this age. Okay, so anyone born from 2000 onwards is entitled to it for free. And they can call
Let's say that because you said that beautifully and in a fabulous accent, but you said it very quickly. Anybody from 2000?
Born from 2000 onwards is entitled to the vaccine for free.
So anybody who's under 24?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2000. Mm-hmm. Not 31st December 1999.
Okay.
So 1st January 2000. Okay.
I thought I got my math there wrong.
It is 24, isn't it? 23.
yeah.
24, not 25.
Kiara's blown my mind.
I can't do
with
math.
With biology. And I've just gone 24. And she's like, I don't know what that
can't
is.
Do math to save my life. So, 1st January 2000. Okay. They can call the vaccination center in Floriana and they can get it for free. So there's a vaccine that's given and then one after 2 months and then a booster after 6 months. Okay. It's expensive. Okay. The full course, and that's for life. Okay.
I was going to say, is that's that life. A life? So if life. You get your, life. It's like the shots you get when you're a kid. Once you've got it, you've that's got it for life.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And this will arm you against these nine HPVs. Okay. Yes. Brilliant.
And there's a better one that comes out because I took mine twice. Mm-hmm. I took my vaccine twice. I'm sharing now. So I took my first one, which back in the time when I was 24, it was against four. So against the two warts and the 16 and 18. And then this new one came out. So I wanted to protect myself against the other five. And remember that for me, it's an occupational hazard as well. So I see a lot of HPV, right? So I had to take the full course again. But yes, so unless another better one comes out. But if you're born over from 2000 onwards, you can contact Floriana Health Center and you can get it for free. On average, I'm not mentioning prices, but it would cost you about 600 euros for the three. Okay? If you are in a relationship where you belong to each other and there's nobody else involved in the relationship, your HPV risk is what it is, status quo. Okay? So you're not going to meet new HPV. Okay? So in that case, if you cannot afford the 600, then why take the vaccine?
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Then I give the comment, but you can never vouch for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I say, you're right. If you can afford the 600 euros, and you know, if there's health, if it prevents against cervical cancer, then book me in, I'll get the vaccine. Okay? So you need to quantify your risk. Okay? HPV vaccine, it's a vaccine. It will protect you when you encounter HPV. Okay? So it's from now onwards.
Mm.
Okay? It's not going to treat what you've got.
Yep.
Okay? So if you're in a relationship and that all of a sudden there's you break up, and you're going to meet someone new, the chances are you're going to meet another new HPV. And probably that person has been collecting them over the lifetime. If they're not vaccinated.
Wow. When you put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
So it's like collecting cards, isn't it? You know, you have to be a little bit on the careful side here.
Yeah.
But one thing I'm going to keep coming back to, because, you know, you rightly kind of explained my scenario. I have one sexual partner. I'm married. I'm, you know, on the other end of the age scale. So I'm in that scenario, my risk is what it is.
Exactly.
But as long as I keep coming and getting my smear test.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The progress of any cells to start getting damaged and turn into cancer is very, very slow. And I would say the other thing is that I'm going to take home to my husband tonight is I got to chill out. We got to go on a really nice holiday. I got to bring that whole stress down, right?
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? No, just kidding.
And some wine.
Exactly. I don't think that's what we need to be advertising to prevent HPV, but I like it. But that is where we're looking at. If you've got a lot of stress in your life, then you're gonna push a higher
risk. If I can add something else, yes, it is a case by case basis. So obviously, the government offers the vaccine for free to to all boys and girls born 2000. Or later, because obviously when the government is doing a vaccination program, they would want the biggest return on investment. If the money was not a problem, they would vaccinate all girls or boys, all men and women. It is licensed, we have to say that it is licensed till the age of 45, but it can be given even at a later age. But then if you have someone who has recently maybe separated from their partner or is having sex with new sexual partners, then definitely it is recommended to be vaccinated, because as it was mentioned, you can meet obviously new HPV. And when it comes to lifestyle factors, and we're speaking about the immune system and reducing stress, going on holiday, definitely it helps.
But there we go, you heard it here first from Sonia.
But a major thing which really leads to persistence of the virus, so is smoking. So people who smoke tend to take twice as long as non-smokers to get rid of the virus. So in general, the HPV virus is a very persistent virus. So it's not like a cold, although there are quite a lot of similarities with other viruses. But the persistence is something which is really typical of the HPV. So it's not like you're sick for a week, you're sick with a cold for a week, and then 1 week later, all is gone and you're back to normal. With HPV, it tends to persist. On average, we say between 6 months to 2 years. If you're healthy and your immune system, and you're taking good care of your immune system, and you're using the products that are available in the market to help increase the clearance of the HPV virus. But if you're a smoker, the studies tell us that the time for you to clear the virus is actually double that of a non-smoker. So I think if you have HPV and you smoke, I think it is an important thing to reflect and maybe consider.
Not stress relief. Smoking is not for stress relief. Okay.
Well, I mean, exactly. Yeah. That. I mean, that's the same with any virus. And the viruses respond to smoking in the same way. Smoking is damaging to any immune system.
Yes.
Because you're basically breathing in the toxins and it damages.
But something even more than the usual.
Yeah.
Because doubling of the time that you need to clear the virus is something that we don't see with other viruses. As you rightly said, obviously smoking is not good for anything, you know. But especially for the HPV virus, there is a strong association between the two. And the people that tend to have warts persisting, sometimes I see patients in clinic who have been coming back and forth to my clinic with HPV persistent problems. And more often than not, all those, or the vast majority, are all smokers.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't do the colposcopy, the biopsies, and the procedure to remove the layers of cells, only in smokers. And there's nicotine in the vaginal discharge.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
So, yeah, smoking is really not a good idea.
Listen, I'm wondering if you guys, I don't know about you, Daniela, because we've sat here, you've been kind of listening in. It's been great. It's been great to meet you and have you here. But I think you and I have both been kind of listening to these incredible two ladies as much as each other, and I have had our questions really beautifully answered. I'm wondering if I'm missing anything as a conclusion, because we're gonna look to you guys for your closing thoughts to really drive home a message for anybody that's watching this. I think from my point of view, you have There was a moment back there where I was absolutely mind blown, horrified, and about to run off, off to have about 20 smear tests. But I think one thing that I've really learned today, and I'm going to take away from it, this, is if you have a regular smear test, it's not, we don't need to worry. We need to, it moves so slowly, we don't need to panic.
Exactly.
But the other thing I'm going to take away as well is that if you are sexually active with multiple partners, and even if you don't know the background history to the partner that you're with, a smear test, this blown my mind, is not a sexual health test. It's only part of your sexual health. So to come and see you at the GU clinic, get yourself sorted out with everything else as well. Wow.
Yeah.
Anything from your side?
Yeah, so basically from my end, being a pharmacist, I just wanted to, you know, tell our listeners that if, for example, so you do a smear test and you found out that you're HPV positive and have low-grade lesions, well, before, like up until a couple of years ago, there wasn't much to do. Like they used to take the wait-and-see approach. Now, we've mentioned a lot that a lot of people, you know, when they Google HPV, they go straight to cancer. And obviously they are stressed, they are more anxious. So it's a vicious cycle, because the more stressed you are, the highly, you're unlikely basically to get rid of the virus in a quicker way, you know. So from my end, I just want to reassure our patients that there is a product on the market. It's an intravaginal gel that has also a prebiotic, because something that maybe we didn't mention was that we need a healthy microbiota. So we are all experts in the gut microbiota, but we tend to forget a bit about the vaginal microbiota. I don't know if you've ever heard about the term lactobacilli.
So basically, do I look like a person that's heard about that? No.
I'm just asking.
So I'm nervous about smear tests.
These are good bacteria that live in the vagina, okay? And unfortunately, when there is an imbalance, the HPV will thrive. So it is a product that is applied daily for 6 months, so to speak, that will coat the cervix. Okay, it will boost the microbiota, it will boost the localized immune response. So what we're saying is that, listen, if you have HPV, it's not the end of the world. And especially if you have low-grade lesions, there is something to be done. We can actually stand up to HPV. Well, at least you're doing something about it. You are not stressed, you're not anxious. And what I personally like about this particular product is that there are studies backing it up. Like, for example, when we're talking about normalization of lesions, the healing, so we're actually stopping it from progressing to high-grade lesions.
That's fantastic.
So
news.
At least we have the option to do something about it.
That is really, really, really good news.
Yeah. Yes. We're very lucky. I mean, out of 55 countries that have the actual product, we're one of 11 that have the whole range. So I do believe that we're very lucky to have this option as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. I'm really excited about that. And for you, closing thoughts. Go on here.
So yes, I think my closing thoughts would be, yes, HPV is very common. Nowadays we can say that we can do things that to prevent it from progressing into more serious lesions. Obviously, we don't want to scare people away from having sex. And I always say, obviously, safe sex does not exist. We can only speak of some safer sex. So yes, even if you're doing everything perfectly right, you get yourself screened, you get your partner to screen, you are in an exclusive relationship, there are no other sexual partners. Yes, unfortunately, we can still meet viruses like the HPV virus, because this is something which, as we said in the introduction, it is transmitted skin-to-skin contact. But with regular screening, we can pick things up at an early stage, and we can live a healthy, happy life.
Safer sex. You said that, safer sex. I remember from the show before, exactly, we were talking about safe sex and you corrected me and I've written it down for today. Safer sex, not safe sex.
Exactly.
Can I just say, I'm just going to say before I pass across to Chiara for closing words, that the pair of you, and I'm saying that Daniela, it's lovely having you sit on this side, because these two ladies continually surprise me. And Chiara particularly, every time I've sat down to talk with you, I have been absolutely blown away by how much I don't know about something that is so common to all of us. So I'm going to ask you, Chiara, closing thoughts, please, on this show.
Am I going to blow you away now?
Yeah, you can if you want.
Because we didn't mention condoms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because condoms don't actually protect you from HPV. Remember, it's skin to skin. I did it. So, yes. So, condoms are important for all of the other STIs. So, HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea. Okay. So, they're important. They're a barrier. But remember, it's skin contact. Okay. So, if there is virus on the skin, it's not going to be in the fluid. So, it's not going to be held trapped into the condom when he ejaculates on the condom. So doesn't mean that using condoms you're protected from HPV. No. Vaccine, a healthy immune system, stop smoking, go for your smear test annually, and reduced stress, holidays.
Yes. Kiara said it. Thank you so much.